This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Sharitz and Shanning. On the local front, going public seems to be part of the growing up process for many businesses. It is often seen as a milestone. Now, this year, the US has seen the likes of Uber, Lyft, Slack, and Pinterest hit the public markets, and as demand for the stock market has taken the US to all-time highs. However, that cannot be said for the local bourse, which has fallen behind regional peers. As you like to say, Shanning, it is the most unloved market in the Asian region. Aside from South Korea's KOSPI, Malaysia is the only market in the red year to date.
And if we look at our, you know, other regional neighbours, Jakarta has been up by 3%. If we look at Singapore, up by 7%. And even Thailand has been up by 9%. So in a, you know, in this sort of very high tense climate, where some, you know, companies see their share price decline and trade at cheap valuation, privatization starts to make sense to some of the companies.
Yeah, the decision will then boil down to whether shareholders see their companies as undervalued. So for these companies which trade below their book or which have high significant cash levels, the appeal of privatization grows as their share price continues to dip. Of course, other things that shareholders look at is their price earnings ratio or price to book at which they trade at. So it all boils down to me, shareholder. Do I think my value is there in the market? And if I think no, then of course I think privatization comes into question. So over the last few years, we have seen especially property players because they tend to trade much lower than the realized net asset value or even price to book. So some of them have gone private and they've been successful. So Petaling Thing and IGB Corp, they were successfully they successfully completed their privatization. Selangor Properties is another one which got their shareholder approval earlier this year. And there's an outstanding one, which is Diamond Development, which has been relatively quiet since August last year. For those which have also seen delisting, that includes Old Town and pharmaceutical company Hovit, with the help of private equity funds, actually.
So for more on this, we have on the line with us Tan Chow Yin, a partner at Diamond Asia Private Equity. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. So what do private equity firms look for in companies that they would consider taking private here?
Thanks, Lynn, Sharice, and Shanning. Very good morning to you.
Morning.
I think first and foremost, private equity firms look for growth sectors. And within these growth sectors, companies that are gaining market share or leading the growth. Secondly, I think especially in take privates, investors will always prefer to back management and owners when they themselves are investing into their own business. So we look for skin in the game as well.
And in Malaysia, we've seen several companies being delisted. And in Singapore, the stock market has seen an average of two companies a month looking to delist. What is driving this?
Well, folks, I think to answer this question, we have to first consider why companies got listed in the first place. It is actually very demanding to be a listed company with heightened regulatory scrutiny and shorter-term demand of public investors. In the past, entrepreneurs will put up with this because they look to benefit from having access to funds for growth. Of course, the assumption here is that this coast will find it easier to borrow from banks or tap the public markets through rights issues and placements. Over time, though, as capital markets develop, public listings are no longer the only source of equity funds. So in more developed markets like the U.S., good companies don't really need to list to access funds. As a result, companies are taking longer to go public, and when they do, it is only at a much larger valuation and size. In fact, the number of listed companies in the U.S. has fallen dramatically over the last 20 years. When Microsoft was listed, it was below $1 billion in 1986. Facebook was listed at $100 billion back in 2012. So back to Malaysia and Singapore, you know, as you said, unfortunately, these are the two poorer performing markets over the last couple of years. Since January 2018, the KLSE is down 8.3%. The SCI is down as well since January 2018. So comparatively, you're looking at the S&P 500, you know, going up by about 11%. So naturally, the public may be thinking with cheaper share prices, owners are taking the opportunity to delist. But actually, PE multiples are much more expensive today for these two markets. And with typical 20-30% premium paid for delisting, it becomes even more expensive.
So in other words, you don't see more delisting happening in Malaysia, do you? With this valuations increase?
Well, I guess maybe just to answer the previous question, the last part. So I really believe that there are more important strategic reasons to opt to delist. Business models are being disrupted much faster today. Entrepreneurs may be considering delisting because the business is going through some fundamental changes. So reorganizing businesses may increase risk and disrupt dividends. If they don't access the public market for funds and their stock is thinly traded, they may eventually come to the conclusion that it's better to take it away from all the scrutiny while they go through the changes required.
So, Chow-Yin, do you see more competition in the PE space with super funds like TPG and KKR chasing deals in Asia, but potentially even squeezing out some of these smaller local players?
You know, the larger funds are being engaged by investors to do larger deals. This is to justify the much larger fees that they get for running these large funds. Hence, it doesn't really make sense for large funds to be chasing small deals. Their investors demand larger deployment, and doing small deals will reduce their bandwidth as they end up with too many companies on their hands. As such, there's really limited overlap between larger and smaller funds. The smaller deal space is interesting because of the potential for greater returns. However, with smaller deals, the companies are less sophisticated, compliance not as developed, and financial reporting needs to be closely scrutinized. So there's a lot of nitty-gritty work that larger funds may simply not find it worth their time, even they have bigger fish to fry.
And you know, just on Singapore, the exchange has amended, amended rules regarding voluntary delisting, which requires bidders to pay higher premiums to privatize companies. How might this change things?
Yeah, that's a very good point. It does appear that the exchange is wanting to protect minority shareholders more, the Singapore Exchange, and this is a good thing. To delist a company, the offer must now be opined to be both fair and reasonable, and minorities' votes are now more important than before. Having said that, the Singapore Exchange has yet to announce the basis for determining what's fair or reasonable. I'm sure the Singapore Exchange will have considered these changes and details carefully. In Malaysia, and in take private terms, the notion of fairness is currently a relatively simple definition. As long as the offer is below book value, the offer is deemed to be unfair. And when the words not fair or unfair are used, people get a bit emotional. So to just give an example, if I have a company owning a fleet of cars just sitting in the garage, the offer is deemed unfair if my offer price is lower than the book value of the cars, even though the cars don't generate any profit and are just sitting there collecting dust and depreciating away. However, from an investor point of view, such a company with inefficient use of capital, with non-productive assets, is just not worth as much, especially if there are a lot of debt to service as well. As such, investors like us don't just look at book value, but many other considerations such as cash flows, profitability levels, and most importantly, growth potential of the company. Reason why a company like Grab, for example, is worth more than a taxi company, even though it doesn't own cars.
Thank you so much, Chow-Yin. And that was Tan Chow-Yin of Diamond Asia Private Equity, giving us his thoughts on the potential trends of delisting here in Malaysia. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.